The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Wow. Wow. I just heard that soundbite. I hadn't heard it before now. Dr. Duchin at King County Health. If we stay vigilant for just a few more months, we can avoid a severe fourth wave, he says. Is that like the Thanksgiving super spreader that was going to happen that never happened? Is that like the Christmas super spreading wave that was going to wash over us that never happened? What about the New Year's Eve party super spreading events that never happened? How about the Super Bowl parties, which would cause another wave that never happened? But if you stay under government's thumb for just a few more months, a year ago it was, we need 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Just 2 weeks. But oh, they love this control of us. This is one of the greatest outrages of my lifetime, what the government is doing to us, what they're doing to our kids. In fact, you know what? This dovetails very well. I'm coming to you from the Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to The Big Show. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
It is time to at least dock the pay of public school teachers who refuse to teach. Today it's Tacoma teachers, where our news partners, Cairo 7 reporter Michael Spears, explained why the teachers picked today to have a sick out.
They want the district to take a second look at this plan, and they also want parents to understand fully what they're signing up for. Teachers say they chose tomorrow because Wednesdays are typically the least rigorous learning day of the week, and they hope this sick out gets people's attention.
Uh-huh. It got my attention. Mission accomplished, Tacoma Teachers Union. You got my attention. Okay, Wednesday's the least rigorous day. Why do we have least rigorous days when our kids haven't been learning for a year? Why aren't all the days filled with some level of rigor? But Tacoma teachers, they have called for a big sick out because the plan to get them back in the classroom, the teachers union wants to get most pay for minimal work. And working from home is the easiest professional activity teachers will ever have. So they don't want to go back to work. So today they've decided to steal hundreds of thousands, I don't know how many are calling in for the sick out, maybe it's millions, of they've decided to steal money from the taxpayers. I don't believe in sick days when you're not sick. I've never taken a mental health day. I've been working since I was 12 years old for 46 years. I've never once taken a mental health day. And I can count on one hand the number of sick days that I've taken in 26 years here at Cairo. And I was either sick or injured or in the hospital for those. But the teachers, they just need to have a sick day because they need to get a message across. They're thieves. When you take a sick day and you're not sick, when you have kids who are struggling with anxiety and depression and suicide, this is just, it's outrageous what the teachers' unions are doing. And here's one teacher.
Families were not surveyed to see whether they wanted to come back into hybrid, nor were teachers, nor were students.
Okay, so that's why they're sick today. Nobody asked us. And then they said that they're not going to be able to keep kids 6 feet apart.
And now we have all of our students back 4 days a week in the room together. Students are not 6 feet apart in my classroom. And in most of our kindergarten, first grade classrooms, they put 20 desks in. And if they're not, they don't have 6 feet. We were told that's okay. It's just a guideline. It's not a hard and fast rule.
it's not a hard and fast rule because it is absolutely unnecessary to have kids 6 feet apart. Because in the districts where the kids have gone back in class, there are almost zero incidents of kid-to-kid or kid-to-adult COVID transmission. It just doesn't happen. So you don't need six-foot spacing. But, man, the teachers, and again, I think there are a lot of individual teachers who want to, you know, work hard for their good pay. But the teachers' union wants them to work very little for Cadillac pay. And here's another Tacoma teacher talking to Channel 7.
But this is impossible because high school students are taking 6 to 8 classes. The virtual classroom is going to go away. And when I look at my 10th and 11th graders, I will see them for 9 classes from the time they return to the end of the year.
Okay, I mean, they've got an excuse for everything, but the main one is until everybody, teachers, students, parents, until everyone is vaccinated, they want to keep working from home, which means through the rest of this school year and maybe even into the fall.
Vaccines are coming, but they will not be available for most of us before we are back in our buildings. And they won't be available for our students until likely fall or winter of next year.
What about our community? Because, sure.
Do you hear this? Do you hear that? And vaccines won't be available for our kids until fall or winter of next year. They want to keep this scam going into winter of 2022. Because kids don't need to be vaccinated. I wouldn't get my... I'll get vaccinated. I wouldn't let my 8-year-old get vaccinated because they don't need it. And the risks, as unknown as they are, of the vaccine are, to me, greater for a child than COVID. So I wouldn't get my kid vaccinated. But the teachers, they want to extend, and listen to this again, they want to extend this scam of teaching from home into winter of 2022.
Vaccines are coming, but they will not be available for most of us before we are back in our buildings. And they won't be available for our students until likely fall or winter of next year.
What about our community? Because sure, we could have a big push and say, yeah, let's all of us jump the line and we all get vaccinated. Great, we're all safe. But our family members of our community and our students are not.
Okay, so they, even if they get vaccinated, they won't go back to work. And what makes this amazing is we just have the latest school data from the districts that have gone back to work. This is Brown University that compiles this study and updates it every 2 weeks. And what it shows is that teachers who are back to work have a much, much lower COVID infection rate than the general community in whatever county in which they live. Every indication is schools are safer being in school than out of school. And again, this latest data takes us up to February 14th of 2021. It's a Brown University database, and they cover every county in the country where the kids are back in school. There is simply absolutely no data to back up what the teachers' union is saying. But there is data on what they are doing to the kids. And let me take you across the state to Hanford High School, where they just sent out an email to all students, parents, and staff at Hanford High School after another apparent death by suicide of an 11th grader. They told the entire school population about this kid having taken his life. And then they point out it's the second Hanford student to die from suicide since January 4th. A freshman at Richmond High School died from suicide in mid-December as well, a third one. And so now it's five kids who have died from suicide just in Hanford alone since COVID began last spring. These numbers are so tragic. Why doesn't the teachers' union care about this stat? I know they don't care about the kids at all. All they care about is maximum money for minimal work. But what about, forget about being a union person. Isn't there still some human decency when you see the level of suicides and overdoses, of depression and anxiety among the kids? Isn't there still a little bit of humanity in these teacher union members? And for the good teachers who want to get back to school, if you haven't quit the union, shame on you. Shame on you for continuing to endorse a policy that has no basis in science, has no basis in reality, and is literally killing children. Sticking with your union, you can withdraw from your union. You have the legal right to do so. You can save yourself thousands of dollars a year in dues, too. But you can quit the union. But it's time for the great teachers to send up a signal, show us a sign that you don't support this absolute science-denying, fact-denying, death-defying approach that your union is taking with our children. So shame on everybody who's involved in one of the greatest scams of my lifetime, and that is allowing teachers' unions, I mean, even the governor, the superintendent, the parents certainly, the kids desperately, everybody wants to get back in school, and they are allowing the teachers' union, I'm going to call in sick on Wednesday. If they can't be fired, dock their pay for stealing money. File charges against them for stealing money with their fake sick outs. Disgusting. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
As you heard in our newscast, there's just an awesome story at the Pike Place Market where a guy who has worked there for 48 years named Mike Osborne, he owns a produce and fruit stand in the market, and he discovered a guy was stealing money out of his safe at 4:30 in the morning.
I came back to the safe area. I noticed somebody leaning over my safe. He stood up, and I just told him, I said, I am not getting robbed again.
His story is fantastic. And so you've heard just little chunks of it. You're going to hear it from him. Mike Osborne will join me right after the bottom of the hour news, and we'll talk to him about the thief that he thwarted at the Pike Place Market. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
I have a serious question for you. Yesterday, we told you the story about Jay Inslee's director of equity. Her name is Dr. Karen Johnson. And she says that being on time or demanding punctuality is racist. She says it's just a white people thing to be on time for things.
Most white people and Europeans are about agendas and to-do lists and tasks and, oh, we have 30 minutes for this and, oh, time to move on. Where many people of color, maybe it matters, maybe it doesn't. In South Africa, if we were meeting right here, 2:35, if Craig Bell walked in right now in South Africa, what would happen is they would stop, welcome him, how was your weekend, you had any plans for Thanksgiving, and would bring him up to speed on what he missed if we were in South Africa. If Craig Bill walked in right now here in Tumwater, Washington, we say hello. And maybe somebody would, well, our chairs are gracious, so you all would let them know here we are. But it's basically, this is where we are, so just get with it.
Okay, so what she's saying is punctuality is racist, and white people and Europeans are obsessed with this. And I was thinking about this after we talked about it on the show yesterday, because I have been obsessed my whole life with trying to teach young people, whether it be my own daughters or the kids that I coach, the importance of punctuality. It shows respect for other people. It shows that you're not going to steal other people's most precious commodity in life, and that is our time. Because we can always get our money back. You can never get back time. And that's why when I coached, I had very severe consequences if somebody was even 2 seconds late. They better plan being 5 or 10 minutes early, because if you're 2 seconds late, there were lines to be run and benches to be sat upon, because I believed in teaching punctuality. I have a question, serious question for you. And I'd like you to weigh in on the text line with this. If we can't even agree that being on time for things is not racist, or if we have a director of equity for Jay Inslee who says demanding punctuality is racist, if we can't even agree on the importance and the nobility of being on time, what can we agree on? Again, it's not a rhetorical question. But whether you're conservative or liberal, black or white, what can we agree on? I don't want, you know, love thy neighbor. I mean, I don't want the biblical principles. I mean, just societal issues that we have to deal with every single day. If we can't even agree on punctuality, what can we? Because I don't know if this is a, I don't know if this is a bridgeable chasm. If we now have people making six figures for Jay Inslee telling us that punctuality is racist, at that point, I have no idea what we as a whole can agree upon. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Text me at 98973. I'm going to share some of your answers a little bit later in the show. Text me at 98973. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I am really looking forward to talking to this guy. Been working at the Pike Place Market for 48 years. He said, I'm not going to get robbed again. And he chased down the thief. And he put a beating on him. You're going to hear the story next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, we've had so many crime stories that have unhappy endings around here. I thought I would tell you about one where I really love the ending. This happened at Pike Place Market, where Mike Osborne is the owner of Socios Fruit and Produce. And I'm going to let him take it over from here. Mike joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Mike, it's great to talk with you this afternoon.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'll give you a little brief thing of what happened.
Okay.
I opened the stand. I work 7 days a week, but I opened the stand at 4 a.m. And I'm by myself. First thing I usually do is open the safe to check yesterday's totals and fill the money with 20s and fives and stuff like that, all the change that we need.
Yeah.
So this is something I've done, and I just usually leave the safe open for the rest of the day anyways. And I don't anymore, by the way. So I had to bring something down to the truck, down to our truck in the parking lot. And, you know, I just was going to run down there for a minute and then just come back up. It's usually, you know, 2-3 minutes is all. There was a little mess in the parking lot, so I picked it up, cleaned it up, took a couple extra minutes there. And anyways, when I came back into my shop, there was a guy over my safe and had all my money in his hands. So meaning he had my fives, my tens, my cash bag, my 3 days of receipts in my hands. And he was a big guy.
How much money are we talking about, Mike?
It's probably about $7,000-$8,000.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And you told me you're 61 years old, right?
I am.
Okay. All right. And you said this was a big guy. So what do you do?
Well, what I said is I am not going to be robbed again. I might have added a couple adjectives, too, because I have been robbed a couple years ago and then and just got nailed with a different problem in the last spring.
Yeah.
And I just had it. So I just went over and grabbed the guy, and he was, you know, he was a big guy, turned on me, and I cold cocked him once, and so he dropped a couple bags, and then he took a swing at me and didn't really hit me, but kind of shoved me out of the way. And so I had a couple of other punches thrown, mainly by me, and then he got by me and ran out of the stand and ran into the main arcade. Once again, I was not going to get robbed. At that point in time, my adrenaline was through the roof, so I just chased him down, grabbed him by the collar of his coat with both hands, and jerked him down, and he just went flat out on the tile, and that was the end of that. Security was down there within 30 seconds. They were already coming down anyways because they had seen, they thought it was a former employee that had come in to talk with me. They didn't see me leave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me ask you a couple of things. So as you were throwing punches at the guy, you said he dropped the money bags and then he ran off. Is that a tough decision?
Some of the money bags.
Okay, but did you have to make a decision? I'm going to leave my money bags laying in the middle of this aisle so I can go chase that guy down?
Oh, yeah, no decision. He wasn't going to. I was just not going to let him get away. And there's nobody at 4:30 in the morning. There's nobody in the market except for me and security. And so that was a no-brainer. I just was not gonna let it happen. That's all, simple as that.
Okay, here's the other question. I'm 59 years old. What kind of quicks do you still have at age 61 that you were able to chase this guy down?
I got quicks. I'm old, but I'm not dead. And you know, when you get adrenaline going through you. And like I said, it was such a frustrating thing to see that, you know, my history is getting robbed 2 years ago. Somebody broke into my gate, took all my safes. Yeah. That was a big hit. And then last spring I got cheated by, I was selling flowers for, the flower vendors, to raise money for the market in this fund. And I got cheated by them for, well over $10,000, maybe more. And you know, I just couldn't take it anymore, you know.
I'm glad. That's what you got to do. You know. I'm absolutely with you on this. And you said that you're down there opening your fruit and produce stand every day at 4 a.m., 7 days a week. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. I live right across the street. And I mean, I took a couple weeks off last year to get my knee replaced, and that was about it. So
wait, hold on. Time out, Mike. I had my knee replaced exactly 1 year ago. You chased this guy down on a new knee?
Yeah. Well, my other one I had done 2 years ago, so it was good as gold. So, I feel like I got everything all fixed. I'm good for another 30,000 miles now. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, you're my new inspiration. You're my new hero in life.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you, it's something. I guess because somebody asked me, would you do it? You know, if I saw anything happening to anybody in the market, because it's such a community, I mean, I would react the same way, because that's what it is. You know, that's what we are down there, and. I've been down there for 48 years. So
you've been working there for 48 years?
That's correct.
You started as a 13-year-old kid.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, you are Seattle, Mike.
Well, I've been pretty recognizable, put it that way. I have been down here for a long time, and I've done a lot of things. Had a lot of press and just some fun stuff, some not so fun stuff. you know, I was there before we had security, when the young guys were the security down there.
Yeah.
And, it's still the safest place in the city. So
how are you guys hanging in economically right now?
Well, we've struggled our way back. Initially, at our stand, we went right to a curbside service and we did really well. And then the protests kind of set us back. Our weekends are back to where they normally are. And I'm surprised that the weekdays aren't. It's unfortunate how the city of Seattle and area, local areas, chose not to support the market. And I think that comes from the fact that they think it's always crowded because they only come once a year with their out-of-town relatives and create the crowd. And so they don't realize that for 7 months of the year, you know, it's empty. You know, it's not, the emptiness is not all COVID. It's just winter.
Well, here's the other shame. Their shame that's illustrated by your story is these criminals that are out on the streets. What did you think when you found out this guy that you put a few punches on and took down to the ground, he's been arrested 76 times, Mike. He brutally beat a nurse a few years ago, and he's out walking, you know, through your produce stand at 4:30 in the morning. What was your reaction when you heard about this guy's rap sheet?
I don't know. I think more sorry for the system that you know, doesn't, you know, either didn't get him off the street or get him some help. I feel like anybody that's that violent and stuff probably has some psychological problems and stuff like that, and probably in need of some meds or something. And unfortunately, you see that all the time down here and anywhere now with the homeless issue. And so I don't know that, without knowing the circumstances of his arrest, the thing I would initially say would be, it's just a sad case. Doesn't give him the right to rob. Doesn't mean that I wasn't going to press charges. I mean, I don't care. This guy's got to be in jail. He's got to be kept away from society somehow, and then maybe treated it at some point in time. Unfortunately, we just don't have the facilities to do that. So
yeah, well,
it's tough.
Yeah, it is. It's a bad situation. Well, I'm really glad you reacted the way you did. I'm glad you still have the quicks on those rebuilt knees to chase down a criminal like that. And I love hearing your story. I'm really glad you came on and shared it with me, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, you know, there's tons of great stories. I got to say that that would be a common theme anywhere in the market, just from the sense of community that they have down here. I think that we all look after each other. Anybody saw anything like that, that there would be, I would not be the only person. It's very, it's a very community supported thing. People just aren't aware of it. So.
All right. Well, everybody who's listening, get down and support these merchants. Go buy Socio's Fruit and Produce. Tell Mike you're a listener to the show and tell him you love what he did. Mike, it was great talking with you. I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Tori.
Okay, keep up the fight. I mean that literally.
Yeah. All right.
Go get him. Thanks. All right. It's Mike Osborne, bye-bye. Owner of Socio's Fruit and Produce in Pike Place Market. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. Lots more to come here on the Tori Monson Show. Tori Monson Show rolls on. Man, I'm getting lots of feedback about the interview you just heard. I think we have a hero. We have a new hero in town. A vendor at the Pike Place Market, Mike Osborne. I love the feedback, so thank you. You can always text me at 98973. Hey, are you ready in about 3 years and 11 months? Are you ready for President Trump? Mitt Romney, who's no fan of Donald Trump, he today was saying he's telling the New York Times, if Donald Trump chooses to run again, he will absolutely win the Republican nomination and would take on, if Joe Biden is still president, it'd be Trump versus Biden, the rematch.
But I expect he will continue playing a role. I don't know if he'll run in 2024 or not, but if he does, I'm pretty sure he will win the nomination.
Yes, he would win the nomination. And then as for Donald Trump, he is speaking today because he wants to talk about his friend, Tiger Woods, who is recovering from what sounds like an extraordinarily serious injury to his leg, compound fractures, shattered ankle in that car crash that was breaking news during our show yesterday.
Yeah, he's overcome a lot, but, you know, he's had an incredible life, and he's going to continue to have an incredible life, but now he'll recover from this. It's pretty bad on the legs, I understand, and, you know, he'll figure a way, but he's a wonderful person. Aside from everything else, he's a wonderful person.
Aside from everything else, what do you mean by that?
I just have over the years. I've known him for a long time, and he was just always great to me, and I've always felt the same with him. I've always just liked him. You know, we had a good chemistry and always have, and I'm just, you know, I'm a fan of his, and as a golfer, he's just incredible. Him and Jack and a few others are, you know, very unique people, and
he's a big fan of Tiger Woods. Meanwhile, problems continue for the Biden administration as they continue to put kids in cages at the border. Celebrities aren't complaining. The media's not complaining. But, well, someone in the media, Peter Doocy at Fox News, quoted what Kamala Harris said about putting kids in cages when Trump was president.
It's the same facility that was open for a month in the Trump administration, summer 2019. That is when Joe Biden said, under Trump, there have been horrifying scenes at the border of kids being kept in cages. And Kamala Harris said, basically, babies in cages is a human rights abuse being committed by the United States government. So how is this any different than that?
We very much feel that way. These are facilities. Let me be clear here. One, there's a pandemic going on. I'm sure you're not suggesting that we have children right next to each other in ways that are not COVID safe, are you?
I'm suggesting that Kamala Harris said that this facility, putting people in this facility, was a human rights abuse committed by the United States government. And Jill Biden said, under Trump, there have been horrifying scenes of border.
Yeah, but that was only when Trump was president. Biden can commit horrifying children human rights abuses, apparently. Okay, best 15 is next.